Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomason. It's good to see all of you here this warm morning, but at least we're moving into summer. It's a beautiful thing. We have our beautiful flowers up here are from Liz Montambo in memory of Don. 10 years? Boy, 10 years goes quick. We have some messages. The quarterly business meeting will be after church today. So if you have anything you want to share, especially how we're going to proceed through the summer, come on, stop by and make sure your voice is heard. The bereavement group, has that started up? Is it going well? That's good. That's a good thing. The women's felting workshop?
Coming up.
Okay. It's a reminder. Memorial gifts for Ed Nelson. That's a good thing because it's going to go towards Jackson's father, Kyle. It's going to go towards Jackson's scholarship fund. So if you give in memory of Ed, it'll go towards that. So that'll be another good thing. And do you have one thing? Sure. Does anyone else have anything they would like to share this morning or bring before us? Please.
I have an exciting announcement. Ooh. That many of you maybe already heard, but Greta Louise Barrett was born early in the morning on June 11th. So congratulations to Mike and Christy and grandparents Jay and Kathy Friedland. Can't wait to be here. So if they're still in the hospital, they'll get home soon and can meet everybody else because only one person's allowed.
Flowers to come?
Yep.
Yeah, I will. I'll just zing it in there. I saw you there. Yeah. Anything else anyone else would like to bring up this morning? No? Well, let us stand now for our introit. It's found on the back of your bulletin.
Good morning. Would you join me in our call to worship? We fall on our knees and pray to our Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth.
We pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower us with the inner strength through his Spirit.
Then Christ will make his home in our hearts, and we trust in him.
Our roots will grow down into the paths of love and keep us strong.
And may we have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is.
May we experience the love of Christ, then we will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God.
To you be the glory, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, all the glory. May you be glorified and lifted up, proclaimed you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, enthroned. All the wealth and resources, they all come from you. You give us our name, the name of every family in heaven and on earth. You're the one and only God. Praise you, we love you, we need you. Come with the fullness of your presence, reveal your glory. Be exalted, O God, in the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. And come, Lord Jesus, and walk with us and sit with us. Come, Holy Spirit, counselor, helper, advocate, fill us to overflowing for this time. For we trust in you. Find our unity in you. We find our Our healing and restoration and reconciliation, all that's needed comes from you, and we receive that today, Almighty God. Draw us together as one, even now as we pray the prayer in Scripture that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning on this glorious morning. Our first reading is from Psalms 14, found on page 430 in your pew Bible. Fools say in their hearts, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on humankind to see if there are any who are wise, who seek after God. They have all gone astray. They are all alike perverse. There is no one who does good. No, not one. Have they no knowledge? All the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord? There they shall be in great terror, for God is with the company of the righteous. You would confound the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that deliverance for Israel would come from Zion. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, Jacob will rejoice, Israel will be glad. Our next reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, 13 through 21. And that's on page 950. I pray, therefore, that you may not lose heart over my sufferings for you that are your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Kids here today? I see Gwen. All right, Gwen, it's you and me. Can you come up here and help me? You want to be a... Come on up, Dave. I'll take you. Come on up. Anybody can be a kid today. It's open to everybody. All right. So I have this pretty little carrot that kind of wilted overnight, but... Do you know that a carrot is considered a root vegetable? Did you know that? I didn't know that either until I looked it up yesterday. And you know what's interesting about the carrot is this is the part we usually eat, right? We don't eat this. But this is actually the root. And when we plant a little seed, carrot seed, into the ground, we want this to grow really deep, deep, so that if we looked, this was about all we would see when the carrot is ready. But we want it to grow nice and deep because the deeper it goes, the more nutrients it gets and the more water it gets. And it grows and it grows and it grows and it looks beautiful like this. And then one day it's ready and we can eat it. But if it doesn't go all the way down the ground, what do you think happens to it? Have you ever grown a carrot and it looks like there's three things coming out here? Or you taste it and it's bitter and nasty? So it didn't get everything that it needed. Well, this carrot made me think about Paul writing to the Ephesians when he said how we have to be grounded and rooted in love. And I thought, we're kind of like that carrot because we need to go far deep down and get rooted in God's love, like the carrot has to get rooted in the soil, because we want to grow and we want to produce good things in our life too. So I wonder, what do you think are some things we can do to be rooted in God's love? Any big kids? Study the Word. That's a good one. Because the more we study the Word, the more we know about God. We know what He's like. He shows us how we're to live and behave. And He shows us through His example of His Son, of Jesus. And so when we get rooted and grounded and we grow and grow, then other people are going to start to see that in us. So, like, I know Gwen has brothers and sisters, and I bet sometimes they probably annoy you a little, huh? Yeah. And they may even say mean things to you, right? And you may want to annoy them back and say mean things back, but when you don't do that and you show kindness and gentleness in your word, you're showing that you are rooted and grounded in God's love because God is coming through you. And that shows people what God looks like, shows Jesus in your life. And it shows not only that you're being changed and look more like Jesus, but it shows everybody else how Jesus loves by the way you love others. So it's so important that we continually ground ourselves. Because like the carrot will eventually grow and can't grow anymore, and that'll be it. But we can keep growing and growing and growing and growing and growing until we look just like Jesus. What do you think? Did okay? Okay. You're a good sport. Thanks, Gwen. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much. To grow stronger and firmer and be rooted and grounded in your love. And we thank you, Lord, that you will transform them to be the face of Jesus in this world, and they will shine your light brightly to all that see them. We praise you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now is our time to lift up our joys, our concerns, and our prayers before the Lord. I'll leave a place open so you could share yours or fill in the ones that I don't have. So would you please bow in prayer with me? Good morning, Father. O Holy One, we bow our hearts before you this day. We pray that you strengthen us in our innermost being, and that you dwell in our hearts through faith, Father. May we be rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus, whose love is beyond all knowledge. Help us comprehend even the smallest part of the beauty, the mystery of your grace, Father. And grant that we may experience the fullness of your presence with us here today. And we lift before you our prayers, our joys, and our concerns, Father. We thank you for all the blessings that you give us, the many, many blessings that we have, the things we take for granted. Father God, the joy of a new birth, Greta Louise Barrett, born on 6/11, We lift her up, Father. But we also lift up the many who are having surgeries or complications. We lift up Addie Malloyd. She is healing up, and her trach tube will be capped and will be able to test and breathing on her own. We lift her up before you, this frail little child, Lord, before you, and we pray for your blessing upon her, Lord. We lift up Christy Grabber, who is having her second foot surgery, Lord. We lift up Dan Whitney. After his surgery, he has a little complication of infection, Father. We pray that you go before him and guide the medicine to heal this up and take it away and heal him up quick, Father. We lift up Bob Bailey, Dave's friend. He's in Yale in the cancer ward. We lift him up, Father, the uncertainty, the scariness, Father. We just pray you be with him and his family. We lift up George Parsons' family as a graveside service will be coming up on the 19th. We lift up Marvin O'Leary, who passed away last Friday. Father God, we lift up Tricia. We pray for complete healing. She had a ride back in the air ambulance. So she'll have some stories to tell about that, Father. We lift her up. She's in Gaylord's in Wallingford. We just pray that you be with her. We pray you be with Will Acevedo and his kidney issues. He is home, but we pray that you be with him. And Lord, we lift up all of the names that we've prayed silently and those said aloud. And we open it up now for any names of people we may have skipped over. Father God, thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for hearing our silent prayers that we continue to give to you morning, noon, and night. Your love is our foundation, Father, and by faith we are rooted deeply in you, dear Lord. We have praise, we have joy, we have healing, and we do have loss. We lift up the families of that before you, and we just pray, Father. You know the heights and depths of our love that we have for you, and we just lift that all up before you and praise you this morning, Lord. It's in your name that we gather, and it's in your name that we pray, Father. Amen.
Will I? Thank you.
tried to hold out, but I couldn't. Good morning again to everyone. Ken Boom, Cornelia. The call came loud and crackling over the loudspeaker at Ravensbrück concentration camp in northern Germany. Corey Ten Boom almost forgot to react when she heard her name. She was so used to responding to prisoner number 66730 instead. She was a watchmaker's daughter who herself became the first female licensed watchmaker in Holland. The Ten Booms were devout Christians who, out of a deep conviction, joined the Dutch resistance during World War II and risked their lives to rescue hundreds of Dutch Jews. The BG, the Ten Boom's home in Harlem, Holland, was dubbed God's Underground because of their reputation of never turning anyone away who knocked at their door for help. Most Jews who sought shelter in the Ten Boom home, they stayed there temporarily until they could be moved to a safer place. In order to protect the Jews in the Ten Boom home, should there ever be a raid by the Gestapo, they built a fake wall in the secret closet in Corey's third floor bedroom. It's estimated that the family saved over 800 Jews from being killed. On a cold morning in February 1944, she, along with 30 others, were turned in by a fellow Hollander. Most of her family were arrested by the Gestapo. The Gestapo searched the house, but they never could find their secret hiding place or the 8 Jews that were hidden in the closet. Soon the Ten Booms were headed to prison, Ravensbrück concentration camp, where her father soon died. In prison, Corey and her sister clung to God. They clung to God, strengthening themselves with the thought that His will was their hiding place. They shared with others the faith that had allowed them to risk their lives to save so many. Corey even snuck in a Bible, and she hid it in her room. They never looked there because there were so many fleas, and it was so disgusting in there that they wouldn't even go near her bed. But there she was able to preach the word, to share the word, and many came to Christ through her work there. In December, her sister Betsy died. 2 days later, just before all the women prisoners of her age were to be put to death, Corey's name was called over the loudspeaker. Ten Boom, Cornelia, report to the office. Surprisingly, once there, a German officer handed her a certificate of discharge. Although she was not really free to leave, she was saved from execution. Now transferred to the hospital, she was now stuck in a scene from Dante's Inferno, until finally on December 30th, 1944, when the prison gates were finally opened and she was free. After the war, she learned that her discharge had been the result of a clerical error. As soon as she recovered, Ten Boom began to speak for the Lord, telling others of the lessons that she had learned on obedience, forgiveness, and trust. She's quoted as saying, "You can never learn that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have." We continue this morning with our sermon series, Alive in Christ. I will be discussing chapter 3 of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Every once in a while, God grants his people a rare glimpse into their place in the grand scheme of history. There's a brief moment when they can assess who they are, where they have come from, and where they are going. Paul's letters to the Ephesians provides the church with just such a vision. This letter, which was possibly intended to be spread around among many churches, was written by Paul while he was a prisoner in Rome. In his letter, Paul declares that the Christian mystery, the gospel of salvation, first revealed to the apostles, is a source of true wisdom and salvation through Christ, is offered to both Jews and Gentiles. The unveiling mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together in one body, and share together in the promise in Christ Jesus. God has invited all people, Gentiles as well as Jews, to join together in the body of Christ, looking forward to a future together in Christ. In Ephesians and later in Colossians, Paul says that God's secret plan had been revealed to him. And as he experienced it, God's great secret was that God wanted to break down these walls. He wanted to create one new humanity. The Gentiles were very much part of his plan. Paul prayed that the plans that God had for them would be revealed to them, but also that they would be understood. I will be focusing on verses 13 through 21, and it's entitled Paul's Prayer for Spiritual Growth. Paul, as I said, was a prisoner in Rome, and it starts chapter 3, verse 13, with, "So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored." And Paul concludes chapter 3 by mentioning that he prays that Christ and the church will always bring glory to God because he, God, can do more than anyone can even imagine. Verse 20, 21, "Now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think of." In between those verses, Paul is trying to tell the Ephesians and everyone else that will listen that we just don't get it. We have some really good and amazing things before us that are available to us in Christ, but often we don't even realize it. And by not realizing it, we are unable to put these things to use in our lives. The biggest is power. The power to deal with and overcome obstacles and difficulties in our life. How many of us standing up here or sitting out there this morning are keeping our heads down? We're relying on ourselves to overcome our daily obstacles and difficulties. Corrie Ten Boom took hold of that power. She overcame the obstacles and difficulties that she continued to encounter throughout her life. She spent her whole life sharing her important messages, messages on forgiveness, hope, love, and salvation through the saving grace of Jesus Christ to all who would listen. She's quoted as saying, "Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire?" With our heads down, are we removing God as our steering wheel and locking him in the trunk? Paul, of course, doesn't tell us to put God back in the driver's seat and back at the steering wheel, but Paul does tell us how to receive power for life. And doesn't that sound good? Well, doesn't it? Well, it is good. It is from God, and it is ours if we'll just avail ourselves to that power. Verse 14 and 15, "Well, I think of all this. I fall on my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of heaven and earth." Power through prayer. Verse 16, "I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit." Power through the Spirit. Verse 17 through 19, "Then Christ will make his home in our hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high and deep his love is. Many of you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great for you to understand." The power of love, the power of prayer, the power of spirit, the power of love. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness and the power that comes from God. Power through prayer. Preacher John Wesley is quoted as saying, "I have so much to do, I spend several hours in prayer before I am able to do it." Could this be the reason that he was able to accomplish so much for Christ in his life? He's known to have traveled 17 miles a day, well over 250,000 miles in his lifetime. He's preaching 40,000 sermons. He would preach two or three times a day. He produced over 400 books, and he knew 10 languages. At 83, he was annoyed that he could not write more than 15 hours a day without his eyes hurting. And at 86, he was ashamed that he could not preach more than twice a day. Preacher Philip Brooks said, "Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your tasks." Amen. Whatever God calls a person to do, it can be done with God's strength. And we must ask him for that strength. Matthew 7:7-11, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and the doors will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and he who knocks the door will be opened." In Luke 11:1, "One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples.'" Why did the disciples ask Jesus to teach them to pray? What did they see in his prayer life that made them want to learn to pray? Could it be that Jesus received power through prayer, power through talking to his heavenly Father? On prayer, Corrie ten Boom is quoted, "There is great power through prayer, but not because of who we are, but of who he is." And another quote was, "What wings are to birds and sails are to ship, so is prayer to your soul." Power through spirit. An American and an English gentleman were viewing Niagara Falls whirlpool one day when he said to his friends, "Come and I'll show you the greatest unused power in the world." And he took him to the foot of Niagara Falls. And there he said, "There is the greatest unused source of power in the world." And his friend looked at him and said, "Oh no, my brother, not so. The greatest unused power in the world is the Holy Spirit of the living God." There is truth to this story, and that is that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is power. He waits to give strength to serve the Lord. But he is not to be used, but rather we are to be used by him. It was said of the famous preacher D.L. Moody in the 1800s that he didn't have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit, but that the Holy Spirit had a monopoly on him. This is our need today. The Holy Spirit needs to have a monopoly on our lives. And when he does, we will experience great power for life and for service. Moody is also quoted as saying, "I believe firmly that the moment of our hearts are emptied of pride, selfishness, and ambition, and everything that is contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will move in and fill every corner of our hearts." But if we are full of pride and conceit and ambition and full of the world, there is no room for the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We need to be emptied to be filled. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The Holy Spirit can strengthen our inner being or our human spirit if we ask him for that strength. But what if we don't? Does that mean that we have to go it alone, that we go without help? I don't know. I really don't know. But I sure don't want to try to do things on my own. I want to rely on God's Spirit to strengthen me for life and service. I can't serve or preach without his help. Maybe you can, but I can't. Corrie ten Boom quoted, "Trying to do the Lord's work in your own strength is the most confusing, exhausting, and tedious of all work. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then the ministry of Jesus just flows out of you." The power of love. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted in the established in love, may have power, together with all of Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, how deep the love of Christ is, and know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Rooted, just as Liz was talking about, rooted and established in love. Is there anything better than this? God is love. So is there anything better than being established in love? And when you love like God loves people, there is a great power. We can get so full of ourselves sometimes, but there is great power in living a life of love. On love, Corrie Ten Boom says, love is larger than the walls which shut us in. I would like to close now with a small portion of her book entitled The Hiding Place. It was in a church in Munich that I saw him, a balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched in his hands. People were filing out of the basement room where I had just spoken, moving along the rows of wooden chairs to the door at the rear. It was 1947, and I had come from Holland to defeated Germany with a message that God forgives. It was a truth they needed to hear. They needed to hear in that bitter, bombed out land, and I gave them my favorite mental picture. Maybe because the sea is never far from a Hollander's mind, I like to think that that's where forgiven sins are thrown. When we confess our sins, I said, God casts them into the deepest ocean. They're gone forever. The solemn faces would just stare back at me, not quite daring to believe. There was never a question after a talk in Germany in 1947. People stood up in silence. In silence, they collected their wraps. In silence, they left the room. And that's when I saw him walking his way forward against the others. One moment, I saw his overcoat and then his brown hat. The next, a blue uniform and a visor cap with skull and crossbones. It came back to me in a rush, the huge room with the harsh lighting, the pathetic piles of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment skin. Betsy, how thin you were. Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation in Holland. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp where we were sent. Now he's in front of me, his hand thrust out. A fine message, Fraulein. How good it is to know, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take that hand. He would not remember me. Of course, how could he remember one prisoner among all of those thousands of women? But I remembered him, that leather crop swinging from his belt. And it was the first time since my release that I had been face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk. He was saying, I was a guard there. He did not remember me. But since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things that I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips. Fraulein, again the hand came out. Will you forgive me? And I stood there, I whose sins had every day to be forgiven and could not. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply by asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, his hand held out, but to me it seemed like hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I ever had to do. For I had to do it, I knew that, The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. If you don't forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. I knew it not only as a commandment of God, but as a daily experience. Since the end of the war, I had had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. Those who are able to forgive their former enemies were able to also return to the outside world and rebuild their lives, no matter what the physical scars. But those who nursed their bitterness remained invalids. It was simple and as horrible as that. And I stood there in the coldness, clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion, and I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed. Jesus, help me. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly and mechanically, I thrust my hand into one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, and it raced down my arm and sprang into the joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole body, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried with all my heart. The power of prayer, the power of spirit, and the power of love. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in all of us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Would you join me in prayer? Oh, Heavenly Father, I don't even have the words when I think about how deep and how wide and how long your love is for us. I don't even have the words when I think about the depth of your forgiveness and our sins being cast to the bottom of the ocean. But I praise you, Lord, because you are a God of your word. You are a God that walks with us through every trial, every tribulation, every joy. You are a God who will never leave us or forsake us. You hear our prayers and you answer them in your perfect timing, according to your absolute best for each one of us. And you provide for all that we need exactly when we need it and how we need it. Even when we doubt, even when we can't see or we can't understand. So, Father, as we come before you and we lay our tithes and offerings before you, Lord, we do that because of how deep you love us. We do that because you care for us and you provide for us. And that we come now to honor you, Lord, with all we have, no matter how big or how small, Lord. We give it all to you. We thank you and praise you for what you have done for us, what you continue to do for us, what you do that we can't see and that we may never, ever see on this earth. But we know where our help comes from, Lord. So use all that we have. Mold us and make us more in your image. Give us that electric current to extend our hands, Lord, to those who need us. Let us go into this world and do your will. And remember that it is only because of how deep you love us that we are able to do all things that you've called us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join us in our doxology.
now remember that we can go downstairs and have some coffee and something to nibble on afterwards, and please say hello to those next to you. We lift before you the richnesses and fullnesses of God's grace. May you experience every dimension of the love of Christ. May the Spirit dwell within you through your faith. And to the Holy One, whose powerful work is within us to accomplish more than we could ever imagine or ever comprehend, and to the glory of God, the glory forever and ever, go in his peace this day. Amen.